On with lesson one finally, but it has been a blessing. I was telling Wayne, saying, you know what, as we prepare and go through what we are going to give to the hearers, one has to let God speak to one before the Sunday school teacher or the preacher can talk to the audience. So that God can give us a picture so that we can give it to you and it'll make sense. And it's all about him, not about us. And when we take it that route, we'll receive a blessing each and every time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to guide us. Father, through your Holy Spirit, Father, we ask that you would guide us, cleanse us with the blood of Christ, and empower us with your power this morning. Thank you for those that are here this morning. If there's some that are traveling or not feeling well, Lord, I pray that you be with them. We ask and that you continue comforting Bonnie on the loss of her dear mother, and David, Lord, watch over them, be with them. And be with us this morning, Lord, and we'll give you, Father, the honor and glory. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. So we are walking through fire in lesson one and author's pilgrimage. And we are now where Peter, we see Peter weeping after he denied the Lord. It says here, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He recognized where that he had failed. Okay, so, but it still took him a while. Yeah, he was caught in the act. He was caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And Jesus goes and looks at him and, it's not a good feeling, okay? So he was embarrassed. Again, he saw what Jesus meant when he was looking at him, but he was more embarrassed in he got caught up to that point, okay? So now, let's go to John 21:17, and because this is when Peter finally realized that the Lord is not playing games with him. And so in John 21:17, and you can read the rest of that verse right there, but I'm just pointing out where Peter's turning point went from waving, you know, here and there and being good, always trying. His pride would get in his way, okay? So now we see Peter in 21:17. And it starts from 15, but in 17 he says, and he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, talking to Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. It pricked him. He was saddened. Why did Jesus tell him three times? Because remember, Peter denied him three times. Okay? And finally, Jesus gets to the point where Jesus says, will you, because he says, lovest thou me, Peter, more than this? Speaking about his boat, about his nets, about his, are you going back after I chose you to win souls? Are you going back to your secondary job? And so Peter, finally, from this point, Peter takes off. And we will see now a different Peter. we see now a bold example of Peter. It says, Peter teaches us that we should never quit because of our failures. And the devil wants us to give up. But God is a God of second chances. Remember Jonah? Remember how Jonah, he ran as far. He did everything but go to in the direction that God wanted him to go. But after Jonah went down, it says right there, to the deep of the mountains, underwater. Can you imagine how deep the ocean is? And from when he hit rock bottom, then he looked up and called upon the Lord, and the Lord's mercy saved him. So now, we see the reason, as you and I, and we spoke of this last week, on Proverbs 24:16, it says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means that, not that we weren't guilty. We were justified because we confessed our sins to Christ, and Christ forgave us. So we can say, no, we're innocent. No, we weren't innocent, okay? We were guilty as can be, and because we confessed our sins to Christ. The Bible says, he that confesses his sins and forsakes them. It does me no good to confess. Ed, it's true what you're saying. I need to stop doing that you just told me. But if I don't forsake them, it'll do me no good. I'll keep on walking in the wrong direction. This is what Peter had been doing over and over and over. The Lord would tell him that this was going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. And he tried to be a hero till finally he gets to the point where, Lord, I am ready to serve you. And so now we see a forgiving Savior. Okay? Let's go to Mark 16:7. And this is when Jesus was already crucified, and the women go early Sunday morning before the sun comes out, and Mary and the other Mary, and they go, and Jesus is not there. The angel appears to them and says, and this is what he says to them, he's talking to the women, but go your ways, tell his disciples, and look at what it says, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him as he said unto you. See, he sent word to his disciples. He mentions Peter by name, indicating that he has not given up on him. Jesus has not given up on you and me. And how many times we failed him? A man falls seven times. And seven times he gets up, speaking about a man or a woman of God. Because there's 7 days in a week. And 7 days in a week we fail God one way or another. But yet he forgives us. That doesn't mean, well, because I failed him, he's going to forgive me. No. So I can go about doing what I want to. No, that was the attitude of the old Peter. And this is the old attitude of us. As Christians, when I like what Pastor said last week, I said, when you take your eyes off the Word of God, you'll be blind. When you take your eyes off God, everything's going to seem right to you and me, because we'll do what we want to instead of what the Word of God is telling us, okay? But he said this And remember, this he was talking about, he met them in Galilee, and this is where they're fishing. And so he tells them, let's go back right there, and says in John 21:15, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, okay, and this is, well, let's go a little bit back down. Well, I'm not going to go, but it's 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. In other words, then keep on doing the job that I told you. Feed my people. And then go win souls. What I told you to do. He says unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my sheep. He says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And this is where Jesus had not given up on him. That's why he said, tell your disciples and Peter that I haven't forgotten him. Tell your people, and he could say, and you could put your name, and tell Enoch, or you put your name there, that he has not forgotten us. So if we have failed the Lord, let's confess our sins to him, but also let us forsake our sins so that we can prosper. Okay? So, we see here that God delights in using broken people. Much of our Bible was written by murderers. Believe that? Look at that. Moses killed an Egyptian, yet God used him to pen the first five books of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? David had Uriah murdered, but God used him later to write many of the Psalms. Many of the Psalms that were written by a man that caused. Well, I didn't know, do it. Yes, he was the one that sent him, and he knew that he was going to die. Why? Because he was trying to cover up. Bathsheba, he said, well, he called him in. And he said, well, you know what? Now that I had sadly sexual relationship with you, and she came back, tells him, I'm pregnant. And he says, well, I'll solve the problem again. He goes and sends him during war, but he brings him. And then he says, go into your wife and enjoy being with your wife. I mean, you've been fighting and you're a faithful servant. You deserve this. But he was trying to trick him. He said, if he goes in and lies with her, then nobody's going to find out. But Uriah said, how can I be here at home eating and drinking, being merry, and being with my wife while my companions are out there putting their lives for us? And he didn't do it. So what did he do? He went and laid in the front of the door of David. Right there he was lying down. And in the morning he found out that he didn't do what David wanted to do. Okay, what's the next plan? He scratched his head and goes, oh, this is what I'll do. I'm going to send him to the battlefield. And he tells some of his soldiers there, send him to where the meanest soldiers of our enemy are at, and put him there. And that way, if they kill him, he said, well, we won't find out. So he goes and they kill him. But David was the one that caused his death. Yet God used him to write many of the Psalms. Many. Okay. Paul had slaughtered Christians in the early church. Remember Paul? He was going to Damascus twice to kill Christians. Because, again, he was a religious leader. We have to be very careful where we see a lot of religious people that they will be willing to kill. Because to them, they're doing the right thing, but it's wrong. Okay? But after his conversion, Paul wrote many of the letters to the early churches. I'm not trying to tell you and me that it's okay to go do wrong. No. But when we confess our sins, when we abandon them, the Lord is able to use you and me for his honor and glory. And the Lord has something for each and every one of you. I've heard people say, this is what I would... Enoch, if you only knew what I have done. I don't know and I don't need to know, but God knows your heart. I used to tell the man that witnessed to me, Joe, you don't know who I am. You don't know where I've been through, what I've done. And he would tell me, the Lord wants you. And I would tell him, when I get my act together and then I'll go to church, maybe I'll be accepted by then. And he said, you'll never change. You can't change. It's God that needs to change you. And he wants you the way you are, and he's going to change you. He loves you the way you are, but he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. And many of us experienced that as young fellas. And I don't know, I accepted the Lord when I was 23. And I praised the Lord, but I struggled like Peter. Because I still had the flesh. And I still wanted to do what the old man wanted to do. And before I came to the Lord, I'd say, well, Christianity is boring. They don't dance. They don't listen to the rock and roll. They don't do this or that. But let me tell you, I am glad to be a Christian. I am glad to be a child of God. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when that happened, I can see, you know what? What the world offers us is temporary, but what the Lord offers us is eternal. Okay? So now we see here why it says in Psalms 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I've heard many of you tell me, and I can relate to you because I did the same. But God has used me in a way that glorifies him. God has used each and every one of you to glorify him. And that is what it's all about. It's not about us. It's all about him in us. Okay? So it says in Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that, how could I have paid the Lord? Never. But yet he forgave me. Yes, I know what you did. And yes, because I know everything, I know what you did back there, but I don't hold you accountable for that no more. Okay? And then in Isaiah 43:25, it says, I am I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Isn't that amazing? When I get to heaven, I'll say, I'm here because of what you did for me. You washed me and cleansed me. So God's grace is always greater than our sins. And we can see that, okay? So now we see Paul being bold. Now he's a faithful servant. Now we can be faithful servants of the Lord. In Acts 2, 12 through 16. And now we see Peter, a different Peter that was hiding in the crowd, in the wrong crowd. And now he's standing in front of the wrong crowd, the religious leaders, but a different Peter now. Look at what he has here. And they were all amazed, speaking of the day of Pentecost, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They're drunk, they were saying. And look at Peter, the one that was hiding out. But Peter standing up with the 11. There's a big old crowd. Now Peter, instead of hiding in the crowd, he's standing up in front of the pulpit. And he's saying, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, a lot of people there, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock. Okay? The daylight hour started from 6 and ended at 6 in the afternoon. So if you go 6, 7, 8, 9, the third hour, it was 9 o'clock. And back then, even now, I remember when we would drink and all that, and it was Sunday. You know what? I would drink all day Saturday. And Sunday, we had no more beer. And so we would get up, come on, let's go. They would not sell beer or liquor until 12 o'clock. So we're looking around. So how can they be drunk if they don't sell liquor till 12 o'clock and these guys are, it's barely 9 o'clock. So no, they're not drunk. It's barely 9 o'clock. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. See, God's forgiveness motivated Peter to be faithful. And that look that Jesus gave him, no doubt, stayed in his mind until he died. And he never wanted to disappoint his Savior again. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now he's preaching the word of God. He's not afraid. He says, now, remember, said, I'll die for you. And then he hid, but now the Lord has molded him into what he wanted him to be. He's now ready to die. And he says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's your duty. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's going to cost us. Our family members sometimes are going to reject us. That's exactly what I used to do. My family's on my side of my wife and on my side. Hey, you want a beer? You want this or that? But when I started witnessing to them, and it felt kind of lonely, but I had to sacrifice myself. You have to sacrifice yourself in being bold and passing out a track, witnessing to others. Now, are they going to accept you? Probably not. But you did your part. And when you speak to somebody, when you drop a track, say, Lord, may whoever receive this, I might not see it, but may you speak to that person just the way you spoke to me. See what it is? So now we see a finishing statement. When Paul closed the second of his two epistles, he was allowed to give some advice to each of us. He had learned the hard way, but because of God's grace, he didn't give up. Look at what it says in 2 Peter 3:17. It says, now Paul speaking to us through what he went through, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. That's what he went through. Fall from your own steadfastness. See? Okay. So now we see Peter, a different Peter. And I have some questions here. In what we have studied, and I'll say, what can often cause us to fail when we make decisions for Christ? And that would be a prideful spirit will cause us to fail God. Okay? And why do you think people tend to overreact when they fail? And the answer would be, it is part of our sinful nature to blame someone or something else to cover up for our mistakes. See, we always blame somebody. And when was a time that your faith or that our faith was tested? When was the last time that we were tested through this week? Through a family member in the store? We were tested. Or how will people watch your life be affected by the daily decisions you make for Christ? Do we make good decisions that will have an impact on our loved ones or on others? Or will they say, you're just the same as us, and it's a shame when they say that to us. I thought you were a Christian. No. Instead of saying, oh, you guys are Christians, that's a big difference of them saying, well, aren't you a Christian? And they like doing that. They'll keep an eye on us, and they'll be what? They won't say nothing the minute that we do something wrong. Ah! Yes. So that's our test, our faith being tested. Or now, how can you better equip, how can you better be equipped for the devil's attack? And this is by spending daily time in the Bible, having devotions, being in God's house, listening to the preacher, pull our ears sometimes. Okay? But that's how we'll be prepared. Satan doesn't want for you and I to be here. Satan doesn't want you to read the Bible. Satan doesn't want you to hold on to God's word because he has no advantage over you. But the minute you look at the world like Peter did, look around and start going with the flow of the world. You know, you and I are Christians. There's many things going on. I don't like to talk about politics in the church or in the church premises. Now, you take me out for a cup of chocolate or whatever, and you want me to, I'll talk to you. I'll let you know how I feel. But I will not speak bad from either side because I need to be an example. Yet I'll be firm on what I believe. But we need to conduct ourselves as God's people. Not as the world. We need to be, and it's so easy. Peter was carried away with the world. And he was thinking like the world, but we have the mind of Christ, not of the world. Okay? So, write out what are the two verses that you can memorize to help you fight off Satan's attack? When he attacks me, I go, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When everything's going wrong and I feel sad and I can't see the answer, you know what I say? And the devil is ready to pound me with his hammer, and I go, he will never leave me nor forsake me. And this is what Peter did. Peter's faith had been passed through the fire. Through his failures, he had realized that he was wrong, and he wept bitterly, and is now in the hands of the potter, and is now ready to be molded into the image of the potter. When we are ready to let the Lord mold us into what he wants to. And this is where we'll now begin with Peter. This is the end of this lesson, and we'll go into lesson two, an audience plight. Okay, this is what we're going to be studying, and it'll be in 1 Peter 1:1-2. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you for being here. Father, we come before you. Thank you, Father, because you have, from your word, showed us that, yes, we were sinners heading straight to hell, Lord. But you say that God commended his love towards us, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank you, Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for the lesson that you have given us of Peter, how he failed, and through his failures, you were able to still use him. Father, through our failures, you are still willing to use us, but we need to come before you. We need to confess our sins and then forsake them so that you can start molding us into what you want us to be. Be with us today, and all that will be taking place today, be with Pastor and his wife, be with the Sunday school teachers, Lord, and Father, be with those that are on their way here, and those that are traveling, those that are not feeling good. Be with us, Lord, in Christ's name we thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you.